still, we're still talking about the year of seeing and believing, and I'm still in that framework of let me show you something. Let me show you something. But I was listening to just a couple of the things that were being said. One, you know, when Wilma was talking, Wilma talked about being in a place where she was grieving and different things. She said, I wasn't even opening the mail. I just wouldn't open the mail. And there's times for all of us when we just get overwhelmed with life. We get overwhelmed with things. And you know, you may be one that, you know, you're challenged around, you know, being able to get things paid on time. So sometimes when it comes, you don't even want to look at it. You know, you just either bring it in the house and you just kind of set it down somewhere. But I want to tell you this. I remember years ago, one of the ladies in our church, I can't even remember her name, but Pastor Maurice and I used to meet with her, talk to her. She was a very, very committed member of our church, had gone through a season herself of just depression, and she had literally shoe boxes with mail. This is what she told us. She had shoe boxes of mail that she just wouldn't open. And then she, you know, kind of came out of the depression or whatever it was, and she started opening the mail, and she said this. She said, I had no idea how many checks were in that mail that I never opened. Some of them had expired. Most checks are good for 90 days. They had expired. The enemy had been able to move her into a place that she was missing out on the blessings of God, the provision of God, because she just didn't have the wherewithal to look. Look at somebody and say, you got to keep looking. You got to keep looking. You got to keep looking. We got to keep looking. You got to keep looking at the stuff, even when it's challenging to look at. You got to keep looking. You got to keep looking. If you're dealing with something, excuse me, financially, it's a bill. Leaving it in the envelope and unopened doesn't help. It doesn't go away. The best thing you can do is get it out, look at it. If you don't have the money, get you a good scripture. Write on it, paid in full in Jesus' name.
Yes. Come on, Dad. That's good. Uh-huh. That's good.
Come on, I need a few more of y'all to clap that really got some bills that need to be paid. because going back to what my sister said and what Pastor George said earlier, then comes the obedience, though. The obedience to what God says once those resources come. Once those resources come. Wilma, did you say you already online your tithe? Glory to God. Glory to God. And then you're going to make restitution on the other tithing with Jesse's table. We're sowing seed into you as well. But should God move on your heart? Yeah. And should Dad speak my name, just get yes. I love how she said that. And Daddy told me to give hers, you know. Said, did Dad mention my name? Thank you so much. Thank you for your faithfulness. And then I was listening as Marcia was sharing about her friend with the car. And she said her friend had gone over to Kentucky because she thought that was where it was going to happen. But it didn't happen there. And that's where I want to tie into this word for just a moment. And it's coming out of Genesis 26, reading 1 through 6. I've been talking about, let me show you something. And I've been talking about it from the standpoint of when God came to Abraham. When he came to Abram, he said, let me show you something. He did that three times with Abraham. Then he comes to Isaac, and it's in Genesis 26, starting at verse 1, it says this. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. Now just a quick point there. You have to recognize that there are some situations and circumstances that are generational, meaning that they will show up in next generations as well. And you can mark that and see that in the scriptures, because when God came to Abraham, there ended up being a famine in the land, even when he was calling him out. That's why it says here besides the previous famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. It says this, so Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you, which I shall show you, sojourn in the land. Say that. Sojourn in the land. Say it again. Sojourn in the land. Now, that word sojourn, it speaks of a temporary stay. It speaks of a certain amount of time. And sojourning oftentimes means or can have the sense of a wandering while you're waiting. Say wandering. While you're waiting. Say it again, wandering while you're waiting. Now, I want you to recognize that when God is moving you and moving us into places of faith and different places, he wants to move us into the kingdom, you may find yourself in those seasons of wandering while you're waiting. Wandering while you're waiting. Now, if you happen to be an individual who needs everything to line up, to need everything just right in order, you won't do well with wandering while waiting. But that's just the way God works. He says to Abraham, I want you to leave your family, leave the familiar, and I will show you a place as you go. He's wandering while he's waiting. When he tells him to offer up his son, Isaac, he says, I will show you where to sacrifice him. He's wandering while he's waiting. And so I was thinking about when Marcia said she thought it was going to happen over here, but it wasn't over there. It was in the next place that they would find themselves. And sometimes when you are wandering while you're waiting because you've heard from God, you're pressing into God, you're going to look like you don't know what you're doing. You're going to look like you're just off. You're going to look like you're making one mistake after another after another. There will be those that will look at you and they will just think, okay, they've just lost their mind. They can't really hear from God. But really what you're doing is you're wandering while you're waiting. You're sojourning, because it's as you move, God can then speak. So for us, we came out of our house, we went to the school, we went to Crescentville in 747, we went from there to Princeton Road, and then we landed here, and God put it together. We were wandering while we were waiting. One of the challenges is where you land in your faith in the midst of your sojourning. So when the sister was over in Kentucky thinking it was going to happen over there and it didn't happen over there, she could have just said, oh, well, I guess God didn't want me to have a car. And that would have been the end of it. But her moving and continuing to move in God brought her to the right place. When we were looking to finance this property and we sat in the bank, we bank and who has our money, and basically left there knowing we couldn't do the deal with them, there could have been the thought that I guess God just doesn't want this to happen, only for God to send the manager of the bank to me in a parking lot and say, I want to give you the name of another bank that I had no clue even existed. Talk to them, I think they will do it, and then made the trip up to Eaton, Ohio to meet the man. And in meeting him, the first thing he says to me, he says, I can see you are a multi-talented guy. You know, he said, you're a man of many talents. That was his first thing he said to me, because he had looked to see who is this guy coming. Then, once we sat down, he wasn't talking about what we would have to go through for it to happen. He was talking about, this is what I can do to help make it happen. Different phrasing. Now, in this season that we find ourselves, part of the key is going to be that we stay in that place of faith, that we stay in that place of obedience, and we just stick with God. We stay with God on it. Because here's the thing, not just you in your life weighs in the balance, but those that will come after you weigh in the balance. And not just those that come after you weigh in the balance, but those that have gone before you. And what God spoke to them that's now being passed on to you weighs in the balance. That's why I said this to you on week before last. What is it that God wants to show you that's part of his word spoken to past generations, now ready to be fulfilled in your lifetime? Now ready to be fulfilled here. See, when you're able to think out of a very intentional place of purpose and destiny, you recognize nothing is by chance. Nothing is by chance. It doesn't matter what it looked like. God works with all of it. God uses all of it. Nothing is by chance that's ever happened in your life or in mine. And so for God to bring us here, plant us here, it's with specific purpose in mind. That's why speaking with Marcia, and Marcia's telling me and sharing with me the things that are going on in the city, she's saying God has rightly positioned us. We just have to know what our part is in it. I get a word yesterday from a sister who, Pastor Maurice and I know, she's been here before. She said, can you give me a call? I called her. She ended up calling back. She said, God just put on my heart to just tell you that he brought you to Hamilton because he's getting ready to do some powerful things there. He's going to do some powerful things there, and he's setting you there because you're going to be a part of what he's going to do. Now, she was talking about this sports complex that's coming in. Some of you, if you're doing any reading about what's happening in Hamilton, there's a sports complex that's coming in called the Spooky Nook Complex. There's only two of them in the nation, but they're world-class facilities. People are going to come from all over the world to Hamilton, Ohio, to this facility. Okay? It's a conference center and sports center. Well, anyway, what the word that she was sharing is, so don't think that you're there by mistake. It's all intentional in God. What God is speaking to Isaac here, and I want to encourage you, is that even while you think that you have one option, make sure you're listening to hear what God has so that you don't miss it and end up settling for something less. So he says here, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you, show you. He says, in this land, I will be with you. In this land, not any other land, but in this land, I will be with you. That's why location is key. Just like in real estate, they say location, location, location. When it comes to the presence of God, location, location, location. You can meet anywhere. You can have church anywhere, but it doesn't mean you're going to have the presence of God. You have to always be in the right location, and God will show up. God's showing up is always on his terms, not ours. It's always on his terms and not ours. He says, sojourn in this land and I will be with you and bless you. It says, for to you and to your descendants, I will give these lands and I will establish the oath which I swore with your father. Now, there you go. That's the word. He's now saying, I'm going to fulfill in you what I spoke to your father. Now it's generational. It's passing down to the next generation, to the next generation. And this is why it's key for those of us, be it parents, grandparents, guardians, those that have the opportunity and the privilege of having people, young people, and those who look up to you to speak into their lives. This is why it's important that you're laying a biblical foundation. This is why it's important that you're giving them kingdom perspective. This is important that you're helping them to recognize the validity and the power of the word of God. Because one of the things that God is looking for is who can I tap? Who can I bring in? Who can I pass the baton on to in the next generation? You see, God isn't waiting for people to be born. He knows everybody that's going to be born. So he's already marked certain people. Excuse me. That's not even here yet. I was marked before I got here, George. Does anybody else feel like that? Or are you just still trying to figure it out? I was marked before I got here. Thank you for the 8 of y'all that raised your hand on that side. I'm trying to pull you into a place of intentionality so when you leave here with a little more sense of who you are and what it is that God wants to do through you. You're not on that job just because you have to have a job to work. What is your assignment while you're there? What is your kingdom assignment there? You don't have that child or those children just because you had sex or you're in the care of children. No, there's a reason why. What is that reason? What is it that God wants you to impart? What is it that God wants you speaking to them so that they're able to carry it on? He says to Isaac, I need you to stay here with me. Don't go down to Egypt. Don't go down to Egypt. When it talks about Egypt, Egypt has to do with the arm of the flesh. Say the arm of the flesh. Say it a little louder, the arm of the flesh. So it's here in Isaiah, let me see. In Isaiah 30, this is what it says. It says, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, said, who proceed down to Egypt. Now, you will never hear any, you will never read where it says go up to Egypt. It's always going down. Because Egypt has never been known as a place of abundance, but a place of oppression, a place of bondage, a place of slavery. Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. It says, therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt, your humiliation. Now that's deep. Because what he's saying there, and the reason why he was stopping Isaac, it says, now you can do that, but you need to know if you do that, I'm not with you on that. But if you stay out here, if you sojourn, if you're able to wander while you're waiting, and I'm telling you, there's a grace to wander while you're waiting. And it doesn't mean that you're wandering aimlessly. It just means that you continue to do all that you know to do until you see it come into fruition, what God has placed in your heart and mind, the thing that he has shown you. Let me show you something. Yeah. I want to show you something, but it's going to take a minute to get there. So I need you to sojourn with me. Let me be lost in your will, found in your grace, holding your hand, seeking your face. Let me be anchored in the safety of your secret place, lost in your will, found in your grace. Y'all still with me? Can I go a couple minutes more?
Yes.
That was two of y'all. Thank you. I just heard two. It says, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and will give your descendants all these lands. And listen, it says, and by your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. He going back, he said to Abraham in Genesis 12, he says, and it says, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, he's passing it on. He's passing it on. He's coming to Isaac and helping him recognize you're the next part of the fulfillment of this word. We heirs are the next part of the fulfillment of a word that God has spoken concerning this area and concerning this region. I don't know all of it, but I do know that God would not be doing what he's doing except that he has found some people who are willing to faithfully give themselves to purpose, to vision, and to destiny. And it's in that that God will continue to show up over and over and over. Now, here's my last part, and then I want to wrap it up for now. The key that of seeing from one generation to the next is that there's a body of believers or individuals who understand I have the responsibility of passing on to the next generation what God has given me. You have the responsibility of passing on to future generations what God has given you. And what God did was he made it clear when he spoke to them in Deuteronomy 6, and he says to them, because he's helping them understand, now this is how you're going to be able to do this. This is how nothing will be lost from one generation to the next. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and starting at verse 1, it says this. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments with the Lord, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. Now, this is Moses speaking. That you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it. So that, hear this now, it says, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, says, and your days may, that your days may be prolonged. Then it says this, I'm dropping down to verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, it says, and you shall teach them diligently. You shall teach them diligently. You shall talk about them diligently. You shall talk about me intentionally. You shall talk about me diligently. And he goes on and says this to your son, says, you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Now listen to me, because you see what's so powerful about this? He's saying it's got to be every day. It's got to be your everyday life. It's got to be your conversation. It can't be, and you shall talk about me when you bring them to church on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and they get off into children's ministry or wherever they go. It's got to be in you. It's got to be in your house. You've got to, if you have the responsibility of anybody that's living in your house that you're raising up, that you need to be able to speak into their life, and you need to be able to model before them. This is what it means. This is what it looks like not to be a Christian, but to have a relationship through Jesus Christ with Almighty God. This is how we live this out. This is how we walk this out. And in that, the more you are consistent, that's why it says you shall teach them diligently. You shall teach them diligently. Now, I will be the first to tell you, no, I wasn't one of them kind of dads that had everybody at the dinner table at such and such a time to do a Bible study. That wasn't me. No. But I'm grateful to God, because somewhere in it, our kids got it. So hear me when I say to you, it's not always in the ritual side, but it is in the consistency of it. That when you are talking to them and you're modeling before them, there needs to be something in it that has the fragrance of Jesus. There needs to be something in it that causes them to recognize that this is above and beyond just you. That speaks to the disciplines of Holy Spirit working in you and through you. It says, you shall share these things with you. It says, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and shall be as frontlets on your forehead. It says, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. He goes on and says after that, then when you come into, says, Read it up there on the screen with me. Come on, read it with me. Here we go, come on. Then it shall come about when the Lord... Keep going. Keep going. All right. That's God. That's the faithfulness of serving God, the faithfulness of speaking from one generation to the next. Because lastly, here's our reality. Krishna, this is what we're dealing with right now. From Moses to Joshua. Moses is leaving and around Deuteronomy, I think Deuteronomy 33 or so, he's speaking to them and he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I set before you life and death. Therefore choose your life that you and your seed might live. Later on, Joshua. Joshua leads the people. Joshua's coming to the end of his life. And you remember that Joshua speaks to them. He says, these rocks are recording what you're saying today. He says, I'm about to leave here. He says, you can. He says, you can serve the God of your forefathers, or you can serve the gods in this land. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this is what it says, and this is the tragedy, and it's also our opportunity as we look to move forward, reaching the lost. And it says this in the book of Judges. You see, by the time they get to Judges, things have shifted, okay? God gives them judges because they're about to get so far out there that they need help, and that's where the judges come in. But this is what it says in Judges 2, verse 6. Team, I am wrapping it up on this, so you all can come on back over. And George, I'm going to have you come up and lead us in our giving, if you don't mind. In Judges 2, verse 6, it says this. When Joshua had dismissed the people, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. Now hear me. It says, once he gave them instructions, once he preached to them, once he taught them, they all left to go live it out for themselves. Now, I need to drive this point home. Because you see, every Sunday we come here, you hear a word, you get a word, hopefully it's a life-transforming word, but then you have to leave and you got to walk it out for yourself. The results of the word are made manifest because you apply the word. You can keep coming and you can keep hearing, but you can end up in a place where you're literally dull of hearing. You just arrive into a place where I've heard that before, I've felt that before, so it's no longer producing anything in your life. You must recognize that it is Holy Spirit that will challenge you concerning any word and every word that you hear for personal application of it in your life. I'm not policing you. We can't police each other. But I have to believe, I choose to believe, and I know it to be a reality because I know how the word works in my life, that even as I'm sharing the word, while you're sitting there, Holy Ghost is speaking to you. Something's churning, something's moving, something's shifting, and that thing that's moving and shifting is God dealing with you, helping you. And when you leave here, he'll continue to do the same if you're open to it. You can't have the mindset, well, I went to church, it's time to move on with the rest of my life. Because then what happens is the word begins to dissipate. But if the word is something that you're applying, it says here, he speaks to them and they all go out each to possess his inheritance, his land. When you leave here, I want you going out to pursue purpose and destiny. Every time you leave here, I want to give you a word that propels you, moves you, shifts you, changes you. So when you leave here, you're a little bit more on point as to what it is you're supposed to be about. Whatever you brought in here that don't need to go out the door with you, leave it right here. And leave out of here better prepared to walk in the place that God has for you. As the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, says, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. It says, then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him and the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres. It says, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. And all the generation also were gathered to their fathers. Now listen to that. All the nations were gathered to their fathers, meaning that whole generation passed away. But then look what it says. And there arose another generation who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. That is the tragedy of our times in which we live. But God's going to allow us to redeem that. I said, God's going to allow us to redeem that. God's going to allow you to redeem that. He's going to allow us to shift that. Because where it says, there arose another generation after them that did not know the Lord yet any of the work that he had done. It's because we stopped talking. It's because we stopped showing. It's because we stopped demonstrating. We came in, we had church, but we left out of here without even showing the power of God. That's why we need the testimonies of our sisters this morning and those that are sharing. We need folk to be able to come up and say, let me tell you how this word is working in my life. Let me tell you how God is moving in my body. Let me tell you how healing is coming to me. Because what we're doing is we're showing it. We're showing it. We're demonstrating it. And then you've got to be able to take it out of here. You've got to be able to take the word out of here, apply it to your life. And if you're raising babies or you got teenagers, you got to be able to live the life before them that helps them to recognize this is no plaything. And anything I've done in the past to cause you to think over otherwise, I repent of that. But I need you to know this thing is real. Hey! I've repented to all my kids. Not because they've seen me sinning. I've repented to all my kids because in this faith walk, I've made some decisions that caused them to question, is this really the life I want to live? Does it really have to be this hard? Does it really have to be this challenging? Now, I can't answer that for you. I just know what my journey has been. But I stand here in health and wholeness, prospering in God, and I make no apologies for it. My journey is my journey. Your journey is your journey. If this thing works the way it's supposed to work, Jamal, I'll take the hits that I need to take so my kids don't have to take those hits any longer. And my grandbabies won't have to take the hits that their parents take. Come on, y'all. That's how this thing works. And you're able to speak from generation to generation to generation. That when it's all said and done, you want to have some people that can speak to you and speak about you and say, I saw a man of faith. I saw a woman of faith. I saw faith in action. They showed me how to live. Amen. Didn't tell me. They showed me. Let me show you something. Walk with me a while. I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you. Stay with me. Keep step with me. I'll show you how to live life. The unforced rhythms of grace. I'll show you how to live freely and lightly. And no matter what, you will always come out in victory.